So Proverbs chapter 12, and we're going to begin in verse 7. That's where we left off last week. If you would like, as I said, if you would like to listen to the other messages, we do have them online on our church website. So Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 7, it says, "Wicked men are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous stands firm." That's read from the NIV. Does anyone have a King James or another version that they would like to read that sounds a little different?
I've got ESV.
Okay. What does that say? Chapter 12, verse 7.
I'm on this time.
Good.
Thank you. "The wicked are overthrown and no more, but the house of righteousness will stand."
Very good. So what does that mean?
It means that if you're doing bad things and stuff, it catches up with you. If you're living right and stuff, you'll outlast the bad.
There you go. It's a good explanation of that. So in here, on this sheet of paper, what categories would we assign that to?
Wise.
Wise.
And wicked.
Wicked. Definitely.
Righteous, bad, and influence.
Yeah, definitely on the influence side. you have your influence is definitely, it's seen by others, right? And you said Pat? Yep. So let's go to the next one. And just so you know, we're only going to go down through verse 28 this evening. So that will finish chapter 12. So verse 8, "A man is praised according to his wisdom, but men with warped minds are despised." Okay, why?
Because a man is commanded according to his good sin.
Okay.
So he's always commanded, he's always like faithful to the Lord.
All right, good. So the King James reads it this way, says, "The wicked are over," that's 7, verse 8, "A man shall be commended according to his wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised."
Wouldn't that be on the wise too?
Yeah.
Fools. Yeah. Fools.
Fools. Wise and fools, yeah. I assigned this to that line underneath family that says husband. When we were talking about husbands or wives, we can also add men or women there. Specifically, sometimes men, as men, we have the ability to have warped minds, don't we? Everyone does. Women too. But most of them. All right, verse 9. "Better to be a nobody and yet have a servant than pretend to be somebody and have no food." What are we saying? What is Solomon conveying here?
Don't act like you're somebody when you don't really have anything.
Don't pretend, right? Don't put on a face. Yeah, there's pride. So what categories could we put this in?
I like to think Margie said it, humility.
Humility?
Yeah, which I know we had kind of penciled in.
Yeah, we penciled that in at the bottom last week. But yeah. I put it under the section, the second to last section of popular sins, illusion. Creating illusions of who you are rather than who you are. And I also put this under the idea of fools. Pretending to be something we're not. Being foolish. So verse 10. A righteous man cares for the needs of his animal, but the kindest acts of the wicked are cruel.
Tender mercies and yet are cruel. Tender versus cruel.
So, yeah, the tender acts of a cruel individual. Yeah, the contrast is this: righteous men, good men and women, they care for their animals. Let me put it to you this way: what is the least on the earth? Right, there's man. Then there's animals, right? A righteous person will take care of the lesser, right? But the kindest acts of evil people,
yeah,
right, is still evil.
They don't have any kind of mercy. It doesn't come up to the level of the other. Right.
That is correct. So, you know Christ, you follow Christ. Your behavior is that of taking care of those who are less than you. But an evil person, they're, here's righteous in God's eyes, here's evil. Their best cannot approach the least thing that we as followers of Christ can do. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah.
Could it also mean someone that's bad and where they're doing to being kind to somebody just to benefit them, kind of thing?
Correct. Yeah. Being kind just to benefit themselves.
Yeah.
Insincere.
Insincere people. Yeah. So what categories could we assign this to with all of those explanations and definitions?
Evil.
Yeah. Evil.
Yeah, put righteousness on that one.
There you go.
Would it make sense to put influence, because there could be influence in
yes.
somebody?
Yes.
Thank you.
Got glasses on it, I can't
see. Oh, sorry. There you go.
Okay.
I also said wicked under the first category of people. Wicked people.
Oh, it's cheating over there.
Sitting next to me is not cheating. That's unfortunate. Verse 11 says, He who works his land will have abundant food, but he who chases fantasies lacks judgment.
Plans?
Yep.
Sluggard?
Yes. We use that word sluggard as lazy. That you'll notice that that's also on the same line as a thief. Being lazy is stealing from someone, right? I also added this to the simple. Remember back in chapters 1 through 9, we defined the simple as those who are sinning, those who are just sinners, right? They were invited to receive the righteousness of Christ and the wisdom, and to partake in the wisdom and asked to follow wisdom, right? They were not scorners. They weren't fools that had rejected and turned their back on God, but they were just simple people that, and I think what we said was, we are like the simple. Well, we want to be like the wise, but we are often, I am often like the simple, where I have a sinful nature.
That path also applies to both.
Yes.
Good path and wrong path.
Yes, paths, both, yes. And what about obedience? Do you think obedience would be a category that we could put in that? So verse 12, the wicked desire the plunder of evil men, but the root of righteousness flourishes. I believe.
Can I go on under influence again?
Yes. Influence.
Everyone, wise.
Yes. Wise.
Cheater.
I can't read his writing. It's like that big.
Right. I kind of thought this went along with the idea of faith or faithfulness. They're in this, the fifth category under God's guidance, being faithful.
Another thing for plunder is thieves.
Yes.
My note for this verse says, this refers to the desire for booty gained by the schemes of the wicked, contrasted with the simple life of obedience that produces blessing. I feel like that they do all this work for stuff that's not important.
Yeah, all the unimportant things. They work really hard for unimportant things. So what category would you also add that under then?
I would say covet too.
Oh.
What?
Yeah.
I'm just
not on here, but
it's not on there, but
oh, I was like, thank you.
Almost verges on greed.
So yeah, so where we have greed.
Good.
What about pride?
Yeah. Their way is the better way,
mm-hmm.
even though it's the evil way. Pride.
And then, how is it? Can that be on the council too?
Yeah. Given and how do you relate that to council?
Because I feel like Solomon's like telling us something.
Well, there's that. And
so,
and the fact that the last part of that verse says the root of the righteous flourishes, right? The root, the things that we have learned, the things that we build foundations on, the counsel that we listen to. Yeah, I could live with that.
I was hesitant to put on that subject.
Yeah. All right, so 13. An evil man is trapped by his sinful talk, but a righteous man escapes trouble.
Instruction.
Very good.
I think it goes back to this section where we talk about human speech. You know, being ensnared to typically can result in death.
Evil and death.
Yep, evil and death. What about the good life?
The righteousness are going to come through trouble. They're going to continue to. They're going to continue to live, whereas the other way, it's.
They're going to escape that.
Lying, but lying's not on the thing either.
So in our house, lying was the same as disrespect.
Disrespect.
I think it's faith too, because you recognize maybe that you sin, but you're going to repent and faith that you're forgiven.
Very good.
And then what about wise?
Yeah, it could definitely go into wise.
Influence?
How so?
Because evil man is trying to buy transgression of his sins, but the righteous escapes from trouble. So if you're around righteous people, help you out.
Very good. I agree. So verse 14. From the fruit of his lips, a man is filled with good things, as surely as the work of his hands rewards him. Certainly not a contrast there, but more of a summary statement of kind of what we've been talking about in the last several verses. Where would you put this?
Counsel.
Good.
Gift from God.
Yes.
Good life.
Correct. Yes. What about the reward of diligent workers? Those who are diligent and stick at it. Keep doing the right thing because that's the right thing to do.
Commitment.
Commitment.
My question, this kind of is not about this verse, but under people, what is scorners?
Okay, so a scorner is someone, so in the first 9 chapters, Solomon laid out for us this group of scorners, and they are the people that make fun of us, ridicule, reject Christ altogether, and reject wisdom, right? They are people that when you have a conversation with them, it's confrontational, it's abusive, it can be abusive in verbally, it could be just a constant battle, and Proverbs tells us that it's really not worth our time to argue with someone who is this scorner, this person who rejects the idea of wisdom, right? So that's what a scorner is in this regard, is someone that has completely turned their back on God and walked away the other way. A little bit different than the fool. The fool is trying to play both sides, but ultimately sticks to his own mind and refuses to take that step of faith. And where the simple is just the sinner who does wise things, but also does bad things.
So, like, fools, like, I know there's many people that claim to be Christian, and then that I know, and then they're like, yeah, say, like, oh, I'm a Christian, and, you know, they say they're Christian, they claim it, and then they say that they don't want to, like, follow, in fact, there's so many rules, and would you say, like, I think that's kind of scary, because some people, like, claim to be Christians, they think they're Christians, but they just think in their head, they're like, oh, I don't want to work to be like Jesus. So they think they're Christians, but they're not Christians because of the way they think. We see like that's like a fool, and then like you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely.
That is
scorners, remember scorners mocked Jesus. It was more than just being a fool. They were mocking and scorning.
Mm-hmm. So it's a lot like a coworker. The people you work with. Yeah.
You can tell we work with them.
It's sort of like when Judas, you know how he was a follower of Jesus, but then betrayed him for money, mm-hmm. and he went his own way. That's kind of like what that is.
If it's coming from his lips, it is good to his counsel.
Yes. Yeah. Other thoughts?
I love that question.
It's a great question.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Good thinking. All right, verse 15. The way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. Anybody grow up hearing that? I did. Right. The way of the fool seems right to him.
Which is exactly what he was describing.
That is correct. Seems right to him.
See, he runs perfectly in.
So what categories would we assign verse 15?
Say instruction, maybe.
Instruction, yeah.
I go with wise and fools.
Yes.
Could you say like illusion because they...
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a prime too.
Yep. So verse 16 follows that up and says, a fool shows his annoyance at once, but a prudent man overlooks an insult. What does that mean?
He's trying to be sensible.
He's trying to be sensible. That's right. Turn the other cheek.
I also have think before we speak.
Do what?
I also have think before we speak.
Think before we speak. Lesta, you said?
Hot-headed.
Yeah.
I missed that one sometimes. Why do you think before you speak? It's for me sometimes. Then I think, oh, Bill, you should just hold that inside.
So what categories could we put verse 16 in?
Pride.
Pride.
Pretty much any time you see the word way, you're talking about the path they're taking.
Yeah, the path that they're taking.
The whole category.
Oh. You can also go with wise for the person that holds their tongue. And
yeah. Wise for people. Mm-hmm. Also fools, because we directly name them.
The other side of it.
Yeah.
Humility, because it's the opposite of pride.
Okay, humility.
It takes a lot of humility to think before you speak. And to know that you need to keep your mouth shut.
That is kind of hard, you know.
I put this under men and women, husbands, wives. In all relationships, really. So verse 17, a truthful witness gives honest testimony, but a false witness tells lies.
Sluggers.
Oh, lazy. Okay. Yeah. You're throwing away the key. Yeah. Sluggards.
to that lying disrespect line as well.
Yes.
These false beliefs.
What about illusion?
Yeah.
Some people speak the truth because they think it's the truth, I'm allowed to say it. But it could be real hurtful.
Yeah. Sometimes the truth can be destructive, mm-hmm. right? How we tell it.
Disrespectful.
Yep. Disrespectful. I put this up in the human speech side of, you know, good, evil, you know, our ability to speak is a gift. You know, there are people who can't speak. There are people that can't hear. And we have these gifts, and we're very privileged to be able to use our words and to use our mouth and to communicate to one another. And it's really kind of a special opportunity for us that we really, I know me, so do you have two different shoes on?
He always wears them.
It came like that.
That's what he says. He's got nothing. Just like a squirrel.
I apologize. That just caught me completely off guard. Wow. Yeah. So see, I was talking about my words, and now I have to pick them wisely. See.
We've all done it.
All right, well, cool. Sorry about that. Where was I going with that? Oh, it was a gift of God. Our speech is a gift. Nice shoes, by the way.
Thank you.
Be nice. Verse 18, here we go. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but a tongue of the wise brings healing. Oh, the tongue of a wise.
Could you say a path?
Yeah. You could say a path. You have to be walking on the right path to actually choose your words, right?
Mm-hmm. I was thinking like it creates a path for others if you...
Yeah.
People wise and wicked.
Wise and wicked.
They saw what he's saying, influence.
Definitely. Influence. Verse 19, truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment.
I would say greed. Because if you're lying, you're trying to get something, and then it gets you in trouble because if whenever you get, you could get what you want, but you couldn't, they would have never trust you again.
Very good. Yeah.
Which goes right into life and death.
Our speech. Yep.
Verse 20 says, there is deceit in the hearts of those who plot evil, but joy for those who promote peace. What is verse 20 talking about?
Well, the evil people are the really evil ones, the ones that are stirring up the pot. The good people are the ones who have faithfulness, obedience, have that peace beyond understanding.
Yep.
But the deceitful be along the lines of a scorner? Rejecting wisdom, being very confrontational.
Yes. Our speech, both ways. Verse 21. This one is... I want to talk about this one a little bit. No harm befalls the righteous, but the wicked have their fill of trouble. First of all, let me ask you this question. Have we finally found a proverb that contradicts God's word and everything else that we learn about it? In this regard, have bad things ever happened to you? For those of us who have asked Christ to be our Savior, have bad things happened to you?
Yes.
Yes. So, in what context, then, is it possible to say that no harm will befall the righteous?
Spiritually.
Spiritually. Very good. So we're actually talking about the long picture of Christ, of that God has for our life, the long plan, right? Mm-hmm. The overall picture is God gave his son to us, and if we accept that gift of him dying on the cross, asking him to be our Savior, asking forgiveness for our sin, when he comes back for judgment, the righteous, those who believe in Jesus, those who believe in God, those who have asked forgiveness for their sin, they go to heaven. Those who have not, the scorners, the fools, those who have rejected all of those promises and all of those gifts of God, they are going to endure the trouble. So in the long view, there is nothing that can happen to us here on earth where evil can destroy the righteous. Evil will never destroy us. It might kill us, but that only puts us in the presence of the God. Right?
In the New King James, it starts out, no grave trouble will overtake the righteous.
I like that.
I like that.
Yeah.
Me too. I like to focus on that, the trouble, no trouble will overtake.
Yeah.
The overtaking part.
Yeah. See, like, you know, there's no problem. We're all going to have some kind of trouble at some time or another.
Right.
But those of us who really believe will be able to have a way to get through that trouble and to be able to go on and go forward, to our people who are wicked will never be able to get past it. They would just dwell in that problem for over and over and over again.
Yep. We've all had personal experiences with some of those things, right? I guess my encouragement to all of us would be our God is a loving God, and he stands with his arms around us to hold us, protect us, and he will allow what needs to happen to those who hurt us. We don't need to take care of that. We need to continue to show love and be wise with our words, our actions, and our deeds. And those are difficult words to say. Right? They're difficult words to live. They're easy to say. It's hard to live that way when you are severely being hurt and hurt and hurt.
And that's why you rely on the compassion of God.
The compassion of God. That is a great category to put that in.
Or even Job, when he had all this problem, God didn't allow him, the devil, to kill him.
Right.
To go along with those, I put this under God's guidance, under plan. Because God had all this planned out. He knew. He knows everything that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, he makes sure that nothing's going to overtake us. That's, you know.
And isn't it true that often the story of the righteous lives on? And those who are wicked, their story ends. I mean, we have some exceptions with that. But ultimately, they died. But the righteous move on.
And that their story encourages others.
Yeah. I mean, great example here is Stephen in the book of Acts, who is murdered. Paul is standing beside, or Saul at the time, standing beside holding his clothes. Stephen is murdered right in front of everyone, yet we still tell his story and we remark in how he calmly presented the facts and the scripture and the love of God to the high priest. I mean, we still tell that story today, right? Verse 22, it says, "The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in men who are truthful." Where can we put that?
Instructions.
Instruction.
Good life, evil, and death.
Yes? Verse 23, "A prudent man keeps his knowledge to himself, but the heart of fools blurts out folly."
I think this goes back to the don't argue with scorners.
Don't argue with scorners, yeah. Right.
Which would be wisdom.
Yeah. Say,
being wise, knowing when it's don't even bother pursuing with them.
Why not?
You can. Just know you're not going to get anywhere.
I put it under fools. Arguing with a fool is sometimes senseless, but I think it fits better under the scorners. Yeah. Yeah. Pushing a rock up a hill. Verse 24. It says, "Diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in slave labor." What does that mean?
The diligent person is going to, you know, have their to-do list and, you know, be diligent about, you know, making sure that those things get done, right?
Actions,
right? A lazy man, he's not going to want to do it, but somebody's going to...
Yeah, he's going to be a slave to whatever debt or is going on because he's not working at it to complete it or overcome it.
Yep.
Exactly. Yes, thank you.
Under instructions.
Instruction?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. Yes.
And then up there with the thieves and the sluggards, too.
Definitely.
Is the sluggard.
Laid out right for you, the sluggard.
In the baseball, it says slugger.
Verse 25, it says, an anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up.
Instruction and counsel.
Instruction and counsel.
Also influence.
Influence?
Encouragement.
Encouragement, poor and needy. I like where both of you are actually going with that encouragement. But the poor and needy, being kind with our words or our actions. Yeah, very good. Verse 26, a righteous man is cautious in friendship, or my Bible also has a reference to the Septuagint would have said is, let me find it here.
Neighbor.
Yeah, a righteous man is cautious or a guide to his neighbor, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. So the righteous is cautious in friendship, but the way of the wicked leads them astray.
Influence.
Influence. It could be disrespect or even illusion for the wicked leading them astray.
Yep. What about compassionate?
I like the illusion. I know people will think, oh, I'm strong enough, I can be friends with this person, they're not going to be used to it. Mm-hmm. Peer pressure. I can overcome peer pressure.
Peer pressure, yeah. Illusion.
I think you'd be a discernment. Discernment.
Discernment, mm-hmm. Yep. I put this under family and friends as friends and what we do with other people and our neighbors. Often what our responsibilities are for our neighbors, even though we may have a disagreement or something we don't like, or they bother us, or they don't cut their grass the right height, or they don't do it as often as what we think. We have a responsibility to be peaceable and come alongside and encourage when they need it. And they should always be able to turn and at least feel like they're welcome. Not that they get to walk through your front door, but they should at least feel comfortable to come and talk to us. Verse 27, it says, the lazy man does not roast his game, but the diligent man prizes his possessions. Diligence. What about thieves and sluggards? I liken this to, I like to go hunt. I've said that before. I liken this to the one who goes out and hunts shoots, knocks the animal down, and then leaves it and walks away.
I can't do it. She's shooting a gun and knocks me down.
There you go. It's a good reason not to go. Verse 28. In the way of righteousness there is life. Along that path is immortality. So let me read that again. In the way of the righteous, there is life. Along that path is immortality.
Influence.
Yeah, influence.
Righteousness.
Wise God.
Wise, holy God. Wise God.
Wise. To teach us that if we follow the righteous path, it leads us to Him.
Our paths. God's guidance in His plan. His commitment to us.
Obedience.
Obedience.
Faith.
Faith. And I also wrote down God's sovereignty. So let me ask you this. We didn't do this last week, but I think it's a good time. We're at the end of the chapter. And if you were to summarize from verse 7 through verse 28, overall, an average description of all of these categories that we've just assigned, what sticks out to you as something to take away, to learn, something that each one of these, something that each almost each one of these have in common, not necessarily, but I hope you get the idea. Just in general speaking, how would you describe what we've been talking about this evening in all of these different Proverbs?
I would take it as people and the way they speak.
Mm-hmm.
But in a nutshell.
Yeah, people and the way they speak, yes, sir.
For me, I put a lot down on influence. We talked a lot about what you do and how it influences others and yourself.
And how you talk, speech. Well, the Bible does say in our speech, it's life and death. Our words.
Yep.
It's all wisdom.
Oh, yep, you got it.
Well, just the point that psychology is good view.
Yeah.
There's a lot of obedience, too. There's a lot of obedience. She hit into it, and also this other.
Yeah.
Also, to take away from it that it's explained to you that there is evil trying to disguise itself as good.
Yeah, that's an important takeaway here in that evil disguises itself as something good. I know this is close to me, but I'll relate it anyway. In the book of Philippians, we've studied that a little bit. Paul prays for us that we would seek God's best. And sometimes when we are looking for God's best, we see all the good things that sometimes are veiled, right? Oh, and we need to be discernment. You found it. There you go.
My Bible.
I think this chapter, I agree with what everybody has said 100%. I think also what strikes me about this chapter is the type of, we don't have to fight so hard. That's what we think sometimes. I think it's taking the righteous path as it as it says, but it's not the type of fighting that the world portrays. You know, I've got to fight to have my opinion known, and you know, so much of what's going on in the world today. So I think it's, you know, God's got it. He doesn't, you know, if he needs our help, he'll let us know. But I mean, other than that, he's got it. We don't have to work so hard at that. We have to work hard at the obedience piece of keeping our speech where it needs to be, and you know, all of the things that have been outlined here. But I think we need to figure out where the work needs to happen, not so much in fighting for things.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you're talking about fighting, when people say, yeah, fight to have their opinion, that Satan used to get in their heads, an illusion in their head.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
What it is Satan is such good at manipulating people's thoughts that they don't even realize it until, like, the more you read in this book, the more you can recognize what Satan's doing to you, and you can, like, put it the other way. And Satan used people in the world, too, to that know scripture, and twist it around and try to look for what they want to hear.
Exactly.
That's why it's so important, because it's a spiritual warfare out there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it interesting that we are asked to put on the full armor of God to do what? Anybody remember the rest of that verse? To stand, to withstand, to guard against. It doesn't say anything about fighting it. We're supposed to have that armor on to protect ourselves as we stand and let God do the battle, and we stand. Thank you very much for coming tonight. This was a lot of fun. I hope this was encouraging, a lot of fun. Next week we'll begin chapter 13. I'll have new pieces of paper for everybody, and hope to see you come back. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you, and we thank you very much for the opportunity to sit, read each one of these wise statements that Solomon spoke so many years ago. And yet, Lord, you recorded them in your word for us to sit tonight in 2024 and listen to you. Pray, Lord, that we would take one of these proverbs this week, that we would walk with it, we would hold it, we would embrace it, and we would just use it as a guide this week. Pray, Lord, as we prepare for next week, that as we read ahead and we assign items and we assign places, we pray, Lord, that we would just seek your joy in our life. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.